With me now to Acts chapter, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to read Acts chapter 3, verse 19, and then if you'll go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians 4, we will read that in a moment. But I want to thank Brother Lee Wallace for finding the only song in our hymnal that has the word refreshing in it. The third verse of There Shall Be Showers of Blessing had the word refreshing in it. And this morning, that's what our message is going to be, refresh. We've talked about renewal, restoration, refreshment. And this morning, we're going to see what God has in store for us with the idea of refreshing. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter said, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." I'm thinking that maybe I should have preached this message right in the middle of a hot summer, because that's usually what we think of with refreshing. When we think of refreshing, we think of a shower after a hard workout or a long day of work. We think of a Sprite. I guess that's what I always picture, a Sprite. Some other cool, refreshing beverage. And here, these times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. That's the refreshing we're looking for. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, Paul writes, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." Let's pray together. Father, we do pray for a refreshment this morning. We pray for that refreshment that comes from the presence of the Lord. We have already prayed for renewal, and I pray that many in this church have prayed, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." We've talked about restoring. We think of David's words when he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." We pray for that, Lord, a restoration of joy. And now this morning, we pray for refreshment, that you would indeed pour out your blessings upon us and that we would be refreshed in the Lord. Forgive us now of our sins and bless this message as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we talk about refreshment, we need to ask, why would we need refreshment? Folks, we need refreshment just very simply because life stinks. All right? If life was great, if life was perfect, we wouldn't need refreshment, would we? If everything always went our way, if we walked and the wind was at our back and everything was all fine, we wouldn't need refreshment. But the fact is, we need refreshment because life hits us hard so often. Even looking around this room this morning, I know many of you have stories that you could share about the difficulties of life. And so I've looked at this passage here, and I want to look at four main points. And I will have to admit to you, I borrowed the first two points from a commentary. But the first point is this: we are squeezed but not squashed. He said there, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Now, folks, think about that. Where does it say we are troubled? Say it out loud. We're troubled where? On every side. Okay? So we're troubled in the front. We're troubled on the sides, we're troubled in the back, and those of you who want more, we're troubled catty corner too, all right? We're troubled on everywhere we turn, there's trouble. Folks, if you don't believe that, you haven't been watching the news lately. In fact, you haven't been watching the news for the last 50 years. We're troubled on every side. Every place we look, there's difficulty. I'm sure many of you could not believe what was voted on in New York this past week. It was voted on to allow abortions right up to the moment of birth. And you know what happened when the bill passed? the New York Assembly applauded and was cheering. They were cheering. And folks, even if you want to debate all about a point at which life begins, which, by the way, it begins at conception. Just thought I'd tell you that. By the way, that's science too. The science is on our side. Because so often they look at Christians, you people just have all this faith, you don't believe in the science. Folks, the science is on our side. That's when life begins. But they said you can abort a baby up to 2 seconds before it's born. So folks, there's a baby in a womb, there's a baby out of a womb. You can kill this baby, you can't kill that baby. That's troubling, isn't it? We're troubled on every side. But notice that Paul then says, but we're not distressed. You see, we're squeezed, but we're not squashed. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 7:5, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. There it is again. Paul said, we're just surrounded by trouble. Without were fightings, within were fears. By the way, this verse is where the lady who wrote, just as I am, got that phrase from. There's a phrase in Just As I Am that says, fightings and fears within, without. And this is the verse she got that from. He's just saying here, folks, it's hard. Paul is saying it's difficult. Here's Paul, the greatest Christian ever lived, and said, I'm surrounded by trouble. Folks, can I give you a really shocking statement here? Ministry is hard sometimes. Living for Jesus is hard sometimes. But there was a man by the name of Dr. John Henry Jowett, and he said this, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. And many times what we want is the easy road. We're all willing to go the first mile, aren't we? Let's not be first mile Christians. Let's be second mile Christians. By the way, you know what the advantage of going the second mile is? It's not crowded. First mile's crowded. The second mile is not crowded. I remember a cartoon I saw one time, and this young man walks up to his pastor and he says, I want to really pour myself into a ministry. I want you to tell me what I can do that I can just give my heart and my soul and my mind and my strength and do everything I can for Jesus, and I'm available Thursdays from 2 to 4. Folks, there's an old saying, you can't get by in your spare time with your loose change. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. The fact is, it's difficult sometimes. 1 Peter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. What did he just say there? When you're going through a difficulty, don't think that it's strange. And yet, folks, when we're going through the difficulty, what's the very first thing we think? Why am I going through this? What's going on here? And yet Peter says, look, when you're going through it, and it's specifically a trial because you're living for Jesus, okay? Not because you're being a jerk, all right? Sometimes we go through trials because we're jerks, all right? I'm assuming I'm not just speaking about myself there. Y'all are going, yes, you are. All right? Sometimes we go through difficulties because we do stupid things, all right? This is talking about a trial that you're going through because you're serving Jesus. He says, don't think it's strange as though some strange thing happened to you. How did this happen? Folks, if you're living for Jesus, it will happen. Yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Here's verses 13 and 14 now. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Boy, that turned it upside down, didn't it? He said this, when you're going through it, be happy. Very next verse, verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, what's the next word said out loud? Happy are ye. How many of you had that as your morning devotion this morning? Yeah, I didn't either. That's not the way we think, is it? Life is tough. I'm going to be happy today. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Folks, when you live the right way and you suffer for Christ, God is glorified through it. And by the way, he has promised rewards for us when we suffer for him. Now, I realize that you will probably not hear those verses ever preached by some of the televangelists that we see, all right? Because everybody does. Listen, God has miracles and God has happiness and God has wealth and health all waiting for you. Oh, I wonder if that would go over well with Chinese Christians. I doubt it. Here's the second point. Bewildered, but not befuddled. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Ever been perplexed? Boy, why did that happen? What's going on? Lord, what's happening in my life? I don't get it. By the way, you're not supposed to get it sometimes. Okay? Sometimes we just, all we do is we sit there and we just want God to tell us why all this is happening. You know, when it came to Job, God didn't tell him why it all happened. In fact, he kind of quizzed Job kind of hard at the end. And he said, where were you when I created the world? And it said, Job repented and said, Lord, I'm sorry. But it never says, and God said to Job, Job, this is why you went through these hard times. This, 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 and this. But here's what we are told in Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Look at that. When it is tough, trust him. Pour out, I love that, pouring out your heart before him. Because remember, God's our refuge, folks. God's a place that we can go for help in time of trouble. And of course, we all know 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now listen, don't confuse this with God saying, you can handle anything that comes on you. I believe what this verse is saying is not this, you can handle anything. It's this, you and God together can handle anything. Because folks, the fact is, the Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You get disconnected from me and you can't do anything. The truth of the matter, it is with God that we can handle the situations. The third thing is this, we're attacked, but not abandoned. Notice he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. We're attacked, but notice we are never abandoned. There's a couple of verses. Don't go to them just yet if you haven't. But there's a couple of verses we're about to put up on the screen. And we've all heard the first verse, and we've all heard the second verse, but for the most part, we don't realize that these verses are back to back in the Bible. 1 Peter 5. How many of you have heard verse 7? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Boy, I've heard that verse. Boy, I've heard that verse most of my life. What a great verse. We have cares, we throw them on Jesus. But look at the very next verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We've all heard that one. But folks, don't forget those verses are back to back for a reason. When we cast our care upon him, it's mainly because the devil is after us. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy you. And the best way to keep him from destroying you is to cast your cares upon Jesus Christ. Let Christ take them. Here's the way Jesus put it the night before he died. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Anybody ever got one of those books that says the promises of God and then it lists all the Bible verses with God's promises? How many of you did it have this promise in it? In the world you shall have tribulation. Is that a promise? Looks like a promise to me. Christ gave that promise. He said, guess what? When you're in this world, it's going to be tough. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have difficulties. But then he after he mentions that promise, he goes right to this one that's even better. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's an even better promise. Promise number one says, life is going to be tough. Promise number two is this, I'm going to be with you. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And Jesus said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So, real quick question. When is God going to leave you and forsake you? Never. 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 Not one time. And a verse that we often hear at funerals, Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Look at this. No matter where you are, God's with you. Folks, where can you go where God will not be with you? Nowhere. David, in Psalm 139, even tried to list all these places. And he said, boy, if I go up here, you're there. If I go there, if I decide to get on a boat and go off across the sea, you're there. Up, down, anywhere, you're there with me. And folks, that should be a comfort for us. In fact, when he says his rod and his staff, you know what the rod and the staff were? The rod was the club that he would use to beat off the enemies. A shepherd had a rod, and he would, if a wolf came, he would beat that old wolf on the head with his club. You know what the staff was? That was the shepherd's crook that we often picture, and it would go around that sheep's neck to pull him back if he started to get away from us. That's what God has, folks. He's sitting there with the club to beat off the enemies, with the crook to pull you back when you start going astray, and they are a comfort to us. Here's the last thing, folks. We're knocked down, but not knocked out. We are cast down, but not destroyed. We're cast down. Listen, I'd love to stand up here this morning and say, folks, all you have to do is become a Christian, and your life will be all smooth and wonderful, and you'll be floating on a cloud the rest of your life, but I'd be lying to you. I'd be lying to you, and you know that. There are times that we are knocked down, but we are never knocked out. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Listen, even when a difficulty happens and you stumble and you're laying on the ground, God's hand is still there. God's hand is still there. Folks, God's grace can never be outrun by you. God's grace is always under you. You know, a moment ago when Paul said on two occasions, basically, I'm surrounded. Well, guess what? We're all surrounded by God's grace. And even when something bad happens, we will not be utterly cast down. And I want to conclude with a great verse I love from Daniel chapter 3. This is where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were appeared before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar said, bow down or I'm going to burn you. And here's what they said. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Folks, don't mistake that. Don't say that they were standing up before Nebuchadnezzar and said, doesn't matter what you do, we're getting out of this. We're going to escape here. We're going to escape the fiery furnace. That's not what he's saying. He said, first, we're able. God is able. But either way, God's going to deliver us out of your hand. And what he was saying was, even if you throw us in the fiery furnace and we die, we're still delivered from your hand. This was not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going up to God and saying, now, God, you got to rescue us right now. Don't want to embarrass anybody, but anybody ever said that to God? Now, God, you have to step in right now and take care of this. If you have been a Christian for any length of time, you've probably said that, and you've realized that God is not obligated to do that. Now, I'm not saying he's not always with you. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that God's not obligated to rescue you from every little thing that happens to you. But I do know this, God is always with us. He is always with us. And he has made that abundantly clear in this passage before us. Why? Because, folks, that's what gives us refreshment. When we realize, when we're going through a difficulty, when life is just breaking our hearts, when it seems like we are surrounded and we're cast down and we're perplexed, God says, I've got this. I want us to say that we may be beaten, but we will never ultimately be defeated. We may lose a battle, but Christ has already won the war. That's the beautiful thing about the Christian life. Christ has already won. He won at the cross. He won at the empty tomb. And one day He's going to return and really win it all. But sometimes we look around us and we say, but look at the score right now. Man, we're getting the stuffings beat out of us. Now, I almost hate to say this, but wasn't it just a few years ago that the New England Patriots were down 28-3 in the Super Bowl and it was over? It was over. Now, for those of you who hate the Patriots, I understand that your dislike for me using this illustration. But folks, they had lost. It was the third quarter. Nobody had ever come back from more than 10 points down in the Super Bowl. They were down 25 points. It was over. And I tell you, you looking up on that board, you think, woo. Folks, this is a true story. They were already getting all the champagne in the Atlanta Falcons locker room. They already had their hats ready and their shirts ready. And boy, everybody was excited about that. And guess what? They didn't win. And folks, sometimes we look at life and we say, boy, but it's the third quarter and we're down 28-3. Folks, I've read the end of the book. We win. We win. And whatever is hitting us, whatever is beating on us, whatever is taking us down, God says, don't worry about it. I can refresh you. Because see, you'll be squeezed but not squashed. You'll be bewildered but not befuddled. You will be attacked but not abandoned. You will be knocked down but not knocked out, because I am with you. Folks, that's what we have to remember. That's what we have to. It's a hard lesson sometimes. It is a hard lesson sometimes. But I can confidently say to you this morning, with no fear at all of being wrong, that we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. That's straight from God's Word. Would you stand with me at this time, please?